Great rishis in the past must have had their own national problems to solve. They must also have thought, how can we become a nation? How can we maintain the integrity of character in the society and cultivate beauty of action in the individuals? In short, how best can a total national development be gained? It cannot be brought about merely by wishing. Each individual must come to accommodate others and learn to come together, and then only the society can stand up and lead the age to a glorious era, which we all so anxiously look forward to. Other than the attempts made and the results achieved today in laboratories and in the fields of economics and politics, our religion also must have some ideas to contribute in rebuilding our nation. As sincere students, let us try to see if the Gita scheme of life has got anything to give to us. We shall study the textbook independently, without following blindly what others have said about, always with an intelligent attitude of mind, a ready critical appreciation, and a steady scientific outlook. This will be the scheme of our talks on the Bhagavad Gita. One of the most popular textbooks on life is the Gita. Every educated man discusses it. Some of us at least keep a well-bound copy of it in our drawing room shelves. But by merely knowing that the Bhagavad Gita is a wonderful book, we cannot be benefited by her, either socially or culturally. We must all try to know precisely everything discussed in the Gita, courageously reject that which we cannot at present comprehend, and usefully employ, and with a determined will, live and practice the Gita way of life, so that we may experiment upon them, translating into practice the high tenets and the subtle advices of the Gita in our daily lives. Gita offers a solution to all the problems of humanity. At least this is the repeated claim of all scholars. Let us try to experiment upon these unfailing values in our own daily life and to find out for ourselves their truth, so that we as individuals may bring about, if possible, a greater stability of mind, a greater harmony in our own personal and social life. We have all heard about the contents of the Gita, but we do not now know clearly what the spirit of the Gita has to offer us. Let us try to understand the Gita in the context of modern psychology, in the light of declared scientific discoveries, and with reference to the demonstrated advanced knowledges that are today available for us. Let us try to re-evaluate Gita as she is said to summarize the high tenets of Vedanta. We are told that she, as a scripture, provides us with an intellectual approach to all our problems, be it in our personal, social, national or international life. Man is always more important and sacred than the things and beings that exist, the behavior and incidents that are taking place around him. History tells us that there had been successive waves of dark ages and golden eras in the world from time immemorial. That is the history of man, and we need not therefore look aghast at the painful picture of the present-day world's political despondency. When the caliber of man gets broken down, everything is lost. As long as man is strong within, he can rebuild the world around him, however desperate the conditions be about him. Instances are many in history where we find that very often our nation was scorched by successive waves of invasions. But the heart of Bharat never got corrupted, our true culture never got destroyed. We have now gained our independence, more splendorous than ever before. We have plans and schemes and visions and hopes. We have been continuously striving. We have made sacrifices. We are running forward, no doubt, and yet, strangely enough, we are not progressing. What is wrong with us is the question. Are we not, as a generation, feeling terribly overburdened with our historical despondency, economic despair, social selfishness and personal vanity? Is this not the cause why we cannot make real progress? We must learn, perhaps, how to unload ourselves, how to remove these crushing weights off our conscience. We must find a way to liberate our hearts from these chains gathered from the recent past, so that we may feel really free to live a courageous life, like our spectacular forefathers, the Aryans, did of yore. We then shall come to maintain in our national life the enduring values of the Bharatiya culture. The physical body is clothed by its nourishing trellis of blood vessels, through which alone we contact the world outside, and the impurities in the blood will hamper the efficiency of the body. Similarly, the spirit within us is enshrined in a mesh of thoughts, which is called the mind. In that thought web, through which alone we express ourselves in the outer world, if we allow suspended impurities, necessarily there will be ugliness and pain in our experienced life. The modern world has progressed much in raising the material conveniences, and yet the modern man's woes of life have only increased. And this is because in the thought life and this inner insanitary state, when expressed in our social life, it helps to breed the unhealthy conditions of sorrow all around in our national life. We must all know how to eliminate this impurity suspension within each of us. We must surcharge our minds with the divine, significant realities of life. Arjuna, though a staunch Bharatiya, was not able to meet his challenges in life, and Lord Krishna, the Gita Acharya, found that Arjuna was no more a true Bharatiya. For the Pandava prince allowed himself to suffer from mental degradation, and such a man is surely un-Aryan. The Lord had to teach him the technique of rediscovering the greater personality in himself. This art of self-discovery is the entire discussion in the Gita discourses. Bhagavad Gita is very intimately connected with the life lived by every one of us. Whether we be in the marketplace, at home, or in the political field, we have to come in contact with the world outside, and in doing so, we must know the art of making right contacts. If a man makes wrong contacts unintelligibly, the world will crush him and devour him up. Remember, world has no mercies. Realize, world has only its laws.